Well, good morning, and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. We still have a, compared to there at Tyosa, we still have a good amount of good crowd here. before I get started, maybe I'll just ask if there might be a volunteer here this morning to come over to Tyosa next Sunday and have a message. And then I'll let Steve see if somebody raises their hand after the service for that. Brother James was there last Sunday, and we really appreciated that. And I just want to say how it is a blessing to be able to fellowship with each other, and we enjoy and appreciate very much when people come over there, when you all from here come over there. And I would like to be here more often too, but I feel like we need to be there as much as possible because small group. So it's a blessing to be here this morning, and we want to worship the Lord together. Appreciate what was shared there about discouragement. My message this morning is it would have some to do with that, and not that my message is on discouragement, but that kind of goes fits in there. My message is, I've titled it just reality. I don't know what you all face here all the time, but you know there are some things that we all as human beings face. And reality for some of us is a little different than others, but there are some things that are similar. So discouragement, I'll ask about that. How many of you this morning have never faced discouragement? Raise your hand. I don't see anyone raising their hand, so probably you all have. So maybe you're all just aware of reality, and maybe you don't need this message. But reality is that we all face it sometimes. But what do we do with it? Well, we heard that this morning, and that is, it is necessary that when we face it, that we deal with it. And we face it. And so sometimes people don't want to face reality. There's a couple different areas of reality that I want to look at this morning. I'm going to try to draw a little something here. I'm going to call this before I draw that, do another one over here. And we sang a song this morning, a couple songs that I want to point out. We sang a song. It said, "All the way my Savior leads me." And where is He leading us to? Well, we sang that song tells us, we'll just do that. We're marching to Zion, right? Now, God has told us in His Word that He will lead us. He'll lead us everywhere. He'll lead us all the way. But this is the other direction. We'll just leave that blank. This is where we don't want to be. But we're, in some sense, coming from here and going to here. But all of us are kind of right in here right now, right? We're still in between. And there's a lot of people who would maybe be singing and saying that this is where they're headed, but this is where they want to end up, but they're kind of going in this direction. And there's a story about a man who he was drunk, but he had a ticket to go to a city in the north. And he come running to the bus station. He was maybe a little late. And he ran up to the bus. He ran up to the conductor of the bus and handed him his ticket. He says, I'm going up to this city. And the bus conductor, he looked at that ticket and he said, well, if you want to go up there, you're going to have to go get on that bus over there, because this one's going the other direction. This one's going south. But he said, no. He said, I got to go. He said he wanted to push past the conductor and get on because he had to go to that city. Well, he said, I'm sorry, but if you get on here, you're not going to make it to your destination. How often, I had to wonder, and it looks to me like there's a lot of people that are doing that same thing today. They're saying, I got to go here. This is where I want to go. This is where I'm planning to go. This is my goal. But they're heading on the bus the wrong direction. And that's why we need the Word of God. How many times have we faced a decision in life wanting actually to do the right thing, wanting to head over here, but failing to go to the one who says he'll lead us all the way. Failing to go there and see what he says of what we need to do to get there. So this morning, I want to look at a couple different areas of reality. There is a part of reality that sometimes we don't have a lot of control over. There are things that happen in our life. There are discouragements that happen. There are situations that arise. There's sickness. And there's death. And there's just all kinds of things that happen in between here. And I want to read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that gives us this thing of reality. We need to face reality, whether it's the choices that we're making or whether it's the things that come in life to us that we feel we don't deserve. And there are many, many things that we face in life that we didn't really deserve. But God allows it to happen to us anyway, and it's for our good. It's to lead us to higher ground. And I think you all probably know well what I'm saying. But my message this morning is one, I want to be an encouragement. An encouragement for the things that happened to us that we didn't know we needed. And also an encouragement to make the proper decisions in life. Because sometimes we face heartaches and calamities because of the decisions we make. So there's two things here. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, before I read that, let's have a word of prayer here. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the privileges that we have through you, and that you've promised you'll lead us all the way. I ask, Lord, that we will have that heart in us to follow you in every place that you lead us, even though sometimes it could be discouraging. But we know that you're there to pick us up when we fall. And I come before you this morning realizing that in of ourselves there is no good thing. But we come to you asking you to give us direction, give us clarity, give us understanding, that we can follow you in every area that you ask us to, Father, because our final resting place, we want to be with you, Father. So thank you, and ask your Holy Spirit to direct us, my words and the thoughts of each one, in our understanding this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. I think that what he's saying there is that it's all of all these things, the good part is for us to rejoice. Because if we don't rejoice, we're going the wrong direction. We're going to discouragement. And he says this in the next couple of verses. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, and men should fear before him. So here we see that the things that God has set in place for all mankind, they are forever. They are permanent. They are his purpose for us. And so when we face some of those trying times, when we face the discouragements that God allows to come upon us, it's good to rejoice in it. I know it's hard to do sometimes, but if we do, then we are coming to the place where God wants us to come, to be, draw closer to him. We're going in the right direction. And he will lead us if we are willing to accept and rejoice in that which he allows for us. In Job, we're going to go to Job and look at some of the things that he did. I just appreciate Job so much. In his example, I guess I feel like Job's example is to me, he's one of my favorite examples as to what his attitude was when these things happened. Now, with Job, I don't think we can find that Job made the calamity that came upon Job was because of a bad decision. I don't think it was. Because the Bible tells us, God said that he is a perfect and upright man. So in Job's case, the things that came upon him were because God simply allowed it. Satan wanted to try him. Satan wanted to destroy him because he knew he was serving God. And so he brought these things upon Job, and God allowed it. But what is our reaction when we face these things? I'm in the wrong book here. Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Now, do you think that Job was fearing all his life that this was going to happen to him? I don't really think so. My opinion would be that Job simply, have you ever experienced that? That there was something that maybe you've seen happen to somebody else. Maybe there was something that you knew that could happen, and you tried to do whatever you could to prevent it, and whatever it might be. Maybe your wife calls you someday and says, "Hey, this happened." Like, "Oh no, I was kind of afraid of that." When I'm with Job here, they didn't have any phones, but I don't think so. But this thing happened. This thing happened. This thing that he had thought about, could this happen? Because when you think of it, I believe Job was concerned about this. Job had continually had sacrifices for his children. He wanted his children to turn out right. He wanted his children to follow God. He was interested in their well-being. And so he did what he could. So he had this probably in the back of his mind. What if? You ever do that? And it happened. So this thing, he said, that feared came upon him. But what did he do? What did he do when this thing came upon him? Well, in chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "Naked came I out of my father's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We see Job's response in this. If we have this response, if we have this, if this is our heart, when these things come upon us, even that we do not deserve, or we feel we don't, and I don't think Job deserved that. I think there's many things we face in life that we don't deserve, that God allows to make us a better person, that God allows to draw us closer to Him. But his commitment was, I'm going to continue to serve the Lord. I'm going to continue to bless His name no matter what happens. That will make us a better person. That will bring us on the road of life. That will bring us to the place that we want to be. We see in another verse here in chapter 19 of his commitment. Chapter 19, verse 25 and 26 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." I don't know exactly all the terminology there. I don't maybe understand that. But the way I would see that is that he's saying that, you know, I don't understand everything that's happening. But I know that it's God. I know that it's because of Him. I know that it's because that He has a heart for me. And these things that are happening, and He says, in my flesh, in my body, as I live here, I'm going to continue to serve Him. I'm going to continue to cast my care upon Him because I know He cares for me. I know He's concerned about me, and I know that if I do that, He's going to take me to the desired end. All the way, my Savior leads me. So when we face these things in life that come upon us, it is important that we take stock of the direction and the decisions that we make. However, in either case, if we make a wrong choice, or if it just happens, something happens to us like it did with Job, the place that we need to be is still at the same place. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that I'm going to search out, and I'm going to find Him. I'm going to see Him in all that I do. I'm going to follow Him in all that I do. And that commitment is vital for every one of us as we face the reality of life. Look at what Job faced. He lost all his earthly possessions. And I think that Job probably could have handled that just fine. His commitment was, I think, is as good as anyone's commitment could ever get. And so, material things to him, I know there was a lot there, and he used them for God's honor and glory, but I think without them, I don't think that would have been a big issue to him. But then he lost his health. Now that one can be pretty discouraging to us, losing our health. And But even in that, he didn't show much discouragement. Then his wife advised him to curse God and forget it all. Just forget it. Just forget about God, because God isn't looking after you anyway. And and I'm sure that had an effect on him, but he didn't let his faith waver. He didn't stop. He didn't say, "Well, I guess you're right. After all, I've lost my earthly possessions, I've lost my health, I've lost my children, and I guess I'll just give up." No, he didn't. He said, "Even if God kills me, yet will I serve him." That's quite a commitment, isn't it? That's what I want my commitment to be. I don't know. I can't stand here and say that it would be, but that's what I want it to be. So, I've heard from people already, they say there's three areas of our life that affect us most, and maybe they got that from Job's experience, I don't know, but family, business, and church or spiritual life, church life, they affect us great, largely. They affect us hugely. And they say, from people's experiences, that you can have one of those go bad. And we still can, kind of cope. But you have two of them go bad, and it gets pretty rough. Well, you have all three go bad, and a lot of people have mental breakdowns. They have physical attacks, and they get very discouraged to the point where they can't cope. These things happen. This is reality. That's where we live. We live between that and that. We live between that place where we came from and where we want to go. We're in there. We face it. Do we cope with it? Do we come to that place? And the way to cope with it, we're looking at here, this is how Job coped with it. This is what brings us through. Commitment is a huge part, has a huge part to play in how we will cope with it. Well, that's the part. I'm not going to go on in that too much more in that area. Those are the things that can happen to us that we don't really deserve. When we have a health problem, when we have a calamity that happens, a death, when we have a loved one, maybe some loved ones who make the wrong choices and they head toward the wrong direction, and you can't seem to help them. When these things happen, what should we do? Well, we have to go back to our commitment, and we cast all our care upon God, because He cares for us and He will get us through. If we have that commitment like Job did, He will get us through. But then we come to the other part of the decisions that we make. Sometimes, because we're headed for Zion and we know that, because we know that's where we want to go, we're faced with decisions. Sometimes those decisions that we make don't turn out so well, even though our heart was good and our heart was right. What then? What do we do? Well, I don't have all the answers as to all the details, but I know the Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. But who's that counsel that we go to? Do we counsel with the people that tell us what we think we like to hear, or the things that, people that will, we think they might agree with us? Who do we listen to? And when that decision that we made takes us to a wrong place, we can still turn around. We can still go around, turn around in the right direction. I had a man tell me one time that he said he believes, and is a man that I respect, and I think that he has a lot of good advice, and he told me that he said sometimes people make a decision that turns out bad, turns out wrong. They believe that then they weren't listening to God and they took the wrong road. He said that he don't believe is always, not always the case. He said sometimes he believes that God allows us to make a choice sometimes that turns out what we would consider unsuccessful to teach us a lesson. And I think that can happen. But we should not use that for an excuse to make wrong choices. But I believe that can happen. I don't think that we should always beat ourselves over the head if the choice we make turns out to look unsuccessful. However, we need to learn from that and go in the direction that God wants us to go after that. So I'm just pointing these things out because I think it's good for us to understand what we face in reality. Then I'm going to go into the choices, into the things of reality, of sometimes the choices that we make that might be caused because of a sensual desire, a desire that maybe the flesh would like, but we'd kind of like to mesh this thing together with God's calling for us. We want to make it designed, but we kind of like to please the flesh a little bit too. So when we pray, how do we pray about these decisions that God wants for us? I had to think of Paul there, and this wasn't a choice between sin. Notice, going back a little, notice I didn't see in Ecclesiastes that there's ever a time for sin, right? It said there is a time of war, but it didn't say there's a time for war. I think it said there's a time of war. It said there's a time to hate. I don't know exactly what he's talking about there, but we all know that God doesn't want us to hate. So his terminology might mean something a little different than what it looks like to our in our English there. But so in this time, the choices that we have to make, we should never make a choice that would be in the area of sin. Okay, so the choices we make sometimes are between this and this, but we would never choose it, the sinful thing. But the Bible tells us here, well, in Romans 17, I'll just look at that right now. Romans 7. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In other words, he's saying there that if I judge with any of my decisions according to the flesh, according to what the flesh would like, it's not a good judgment to use. But many times people try to mesh those things together and they try to make it look like a good thing, and it's actually, they can find a way to justify what they're doing, and then those things do not take us in a right direction, although immediately they might not look so bad. I know of one young man who had a desire for... he had a desire for some things that are maybe not wrong in themselves, but he liked hunting very well, and so he thought that he'll go serve in a mission field somewhere where he could also have the liberties with the hunting. Now, I'm not saying hunting's wrong, but I'm just pointing this out as a something that we don't use, and he felt like, okay, like this was the right place for him to go then. He was only there a few weeks and it didn't work out, and he was right back. He was using a wrong trying to mesh those two things that don't. It was a fleshly thing and something that wanted to please the flesh and God at the same time. It don't work. I'm not saying we can't have some earthly enjoyments that God has put there for us, but meshing those two usually doesn't. We don't get good direction that way. So what is a leading or a misleading? So we have Paul. I had to think of him and his desire to do a good thing. He said, I'm going to go over here and we're going to go evangelize and start church over here. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there. It was a good thing they wanted to do. The Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to go over here. Where do we find our direction in all the choices that we have to make? Is it, you know, it's beyond just the area of, is it sin or not? So many things that people do, and it comes to a bad end, they blame it on God. Well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. God told me to do this. We can't see all what's in people's hearts, so we can't judge this. I'm not trying to tell us here that we need to go judge everyone. We need to judge ourselves. These are the matters that we need to judge ourselves. What is God's will for my life in the choices that I do? Well, what is the best guide? Well, there's counsel from other brothers, but sometimes we question that too, because maybe they don't know the motives of our heart. Sometimes people take and they say, well, God's leading me to do this. And it's contradicting the Word of God. The Word of God contradicts it. But they do it anyway. They say, well, I know it kind of looks a little questionable, but God's telling me to do it. Well, if it's contradicting with the Word of God, God's not telling us to do it. Then they blame it on God and they say, it was the Holy Spirit or it was God. We need to take ownership of our own decisions when we make decisions that are in this area that I'm talking about. We need to take ownership and responsibility. When I make a wrong choice, we need to own it, because God doesn't ever take us to a wrong place. Now, that might have contradicted with what I said. I think God allows us to do some things sometimes to teach us a lesson. But I don't think God would actually take us there and say, do that, if it's going to take us to a wrong place. So the Bible gave us, God gave us common sense, right? Well, and that common sense needs to be guided by the Scriptures. We have sometimes, we have ordinations. And I don't know if you've heard, but I've heard of people who say, I sought the Lord and He told me, God led me, that this man is the right one. And then he discusses it with somebody else, and the other person says, well, I did the same thing, and God led me to this one. And then the ordination happens, and neither one of them was chosen. And so they both start to feeling like, wow, am I really, something wrong with me? I must, and they get discouraged. And how can I know God's will? Well, they forgot something. The Word of God gives us the qualifications. And the only thing that we're required to do now is pray about it, first of all. And then our prayer should be guided by the Word of God and knowing what that qualification is. And I believe that God can lead for everyone to say the same name. I believe God can do that. But it doesn't happen that often. And so what God is telling us, I believe in that, is that we look to His Word. We use the brain that God has given us. ask for his direction. But if there's two or three people, and I'm not saying this at all for how we ought to have ordinations, but I'm just using this for example. But if two or three people are given, and it's pretty clear that they are qualified, then the choice is up to God. And we don't have to feel like God didn't give us any direction, because he did. It's in the Word. And God can choose. Then if we choose to do it that way, we can choose through a lot. And he can allow that to happen. And we don't need to feel like God has to speak to us in person directly, because that is not the way God speaks to us anymore. He has chosen the Holy Spirit. God said, the Word says that when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, Holy Spirit of God has come, He will lead you, will guide you into all truth. And He doesn't guide you into all truth alone by prayer. I want to be careful with how I say that, because prayer is a vital thing. But God chooses, He takes us to the right place through prayer and the Holy Spirit giving us direction through His Word. If the way that God gave us direction would be through that voice that He gave to us, we wouldn't need the Word, right? We wouldn't need pastors and teachers, and we wouldn't need fathers to give direction for the children. So we need that. We need that that common sense. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God, and we need to mesh these all together. So some people say, well, God just told me that this person is the one, and it doesn't line up with Scripture. That's a misleading. That's not a leading. When we pray, we should ask for wisdom, not a voice from heaven. Wisdom tells us that the Word of God is what we look to for our advice, primarily, but also through the brotherhood as well. We need to ask God when we make decisions in life, when we face this reality, we're all going to face choices. We need to ask God for honesty in here, in dealing with our own desires. We need to ask for honesty. Are we honest with ourselves? When I come to God and I have a decision that I need to make, and I'm not choosing between sin or right, I'm choosing between two different paths, but could be sin, but it might not be obvious to others. But I'm choosing. Do we ask God to deal with my heart to the full of what my desire would be? And that, influenced by the flesh, what my desire would be versus God's desire. Totally open. Totally at God's command, and not what we would like. I believe there's a lot of times when we claim God's leading in our life, and it's simply more to do with my own desires than it is with God's. I think that happens to a lot of people. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm just telling us that we need to be aware of that, because we all have that tendency. So we need to be aware of taking our own course in life and claiming God's leading. One of the areas that I'm thinking of is, we want to end up here. And we want our families to end up here. But we kind of go this direction. We, like the man on the bus, we try to get on this bus, and that bus is headed that way, and we're planning to go that way. There's many families doing that today. Many families are doing that today. They're taking their own choice. They're making the choice not in the direction of God's Word and expecting to end up there. Reality is, it's not going to happen. If we get on that, we get on the wrong train, it's not going to happen. That's reality. But people have a hard time facing reality. That's just our human nature. That's the way we are. We have a hard time facing the reality of our decisions. Another reality that we have a hard time with, especially here in the United States, is thinking that we can spend lavishly. Our whole society is geared toward that. You look at, and I doubt if we have as much of this problem here as what society has, but they think that they can spend and spend and spend beyond their means and end up at a good place where they have maybe a savings account. They don't like to have a savings account, but they go the other direction. Maybe we don't have as much problem with that. We teach about spending wisely. But what about when we do have the means and we spend that extravagantly, even when we do have it, and we use it extravagantly and then expect our children are going to end up living in moderation? It's not reality to think that our children are going to end up at a place that we're going the opposite direction of. Modesty, conservatism, biblical conservatism. I had a message on that. I thought about sharing that here, but I didn't feel like the Lord was leading me in that direction. Now, if we live in such a way that is beyond what God is calling us to, how are our children going to end up living the modest, non-conformed life, non-conformed to this world? We can dress, as plain as we should and still be conformed to the world in other ways. That's very possible. People do that. So we have to take all things together. The Bible says moderation in all things. I want to have a message on that. I've been thinking about that. Moderation in all things. That gets right down to reality. That's not my total message today, although it might be partly that. I have been aware, and I'm not here, but in other circles that I know, of people who commonly read cheap novels and listen to sensual music. And all the time they say they're heading over here, but it won't lead you there. Cheap novels and sensual music. There is sensual music that is even has gospel words to it. Okay, I'm not talking about the wicked music with wicked words. I'm talking about music that has a gospel message, but it is sensual. There's music like that. I'm not going to go into all the names of it. But if we listen to that kind of thing and read that kind of thing, we're headed that direction when we think we're on that bus. That's reality. We have, when we are growing up, this is for the young folks. All of us who are married are committed. And I know that we can make wrong choices in that. And God can work and change that. That's testimony of a lot of lives. I know that. But we still need to be concerned about that in growing. We cannot look for a pardoner who is sensual and after the things of this world, and plan to end up and end up there. Like I said, God can do that work in the hearts later. I'm not putting that aside, but that is no excuse to look in the wrong place. Because if we're looking at the wrong place and for the wrong qualities, expect that to happen. God does not promise that He will make that happen if we don't follow Him. So that's just a word to the young folks. Expecting to have godly homes when we look at the wrong place and for the wrong character when we go to marry. Chances of having a godly home are not very likely if that's what we're looking for. So we have, I don't think anybody here gambles. But you know, I've heard stories of people who gamble. And when they do that, and I'm talking about, we do kind of gamble with some decisions sometimes, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going to that place where they gamble. And I'm told that people that go there, they get addicted. In fact, just thinking about this right now, I had a friend who actually visited a place, just he wasn't interested for himself, he just wanted to see what that looks like there. And he said he was astonished at how addicted people get. So they have these machines that if you put they're kind of on timers as to when they dump a bunch of money. So you keep putting this money in, and at some point they're going to dump a bunch of money out. And there are people who go in there and they know this, and they stay right there, and they use the bathroom right there on the floor. He saw it himself, because they're so addicted, because they have to get that, stay there till they get that money. So they get addicted, and these people, you know, they keep telling themselves that at some point when I get enough money, I'll quit. But people do hit the jackpot. Very seldom you hear of anybody quitting until that's all gone. It's that way in life. If we get addicted to the wrong thing and the things of the flesh, we keep telling, many people tell themselves, yeah, but I'll be an exception to the rule. I'm not saying there are no exceptions ever, but there are very few. So we can't gamble with life. We can't gamble with this thing of going this direction and saying sometime that's going to change and I'm going to make it back over here. It's never safe to gamble with life. That's reality. One of the things that sometimes happens when we suffer from something that we did not deserve, I'm kind of going back a little in this, is bitterness. Maybe we think this was the right choice in a financial decision, or something in health, or we all know of people probably who went to the mission field and their children got rebellious. I mean, these things happen. Was that a wrong choice? Well, we don't have all the answers to that. But we do need to learn from it. And we should not. The thing that we're tempted with is to get bitter from it. When we make a decision that we weren't trying to make a wrong decision, and it turns out very serious and very bad, bitterness is a lot of times a result of that. That can happen. The only way, I believe that the only way that that can be thwarted, that bitterness, is to go back. Do like Job did and remind ourselves of our commitment and that God is a good God, and He will take us through it. He will bring us to the desired end, but we have to be willing to follow Him. Even if we've made a wrong choice, we need to be willing then, when we see that, to turn around and go the right direction. And He will lead us. He will take us, and He will bring us to the desired end. So my encouragement this morning is that whether it is something that God is just allowing in our life, or whether it is a bad choice, or whether it is even a known wrong choice at the time, that we would still take the attitude that Job had and come back and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I'm committed to serve Him. And even if I made a wrong choice, make that right. Come back. And God will lead us. He's promised. But seek it in honesty. Seek Him in honesty. Not allowing that human nature, that fleshly nature, to influence that decision. God has promised that if we seek Him out of a pure heart, He will lead us. So when these things happen, don't give up. Don't give up in despair. Many people do. An area that I see happen, it seems quite common. There are lots of church struggles. There are lots of issues. There are lots of church splits. There are people that say, well, I was considering going to that church, and before I maybe visited there a few times, and all of a sudden they had problems, they had a church split. Well, I'm glad I didn't go there. So they stay home and thought about another church. And before they got too far with that, it had a church split and flew apart. And so, well, I'm glad that I never got involved with that one. You know what? Those reasons aren't good enough. Those reasons just aren't valid. That's only the devil. I understand that it happens, and I understand that people draw their conclusions from that. But that's a carnal way to make that decision. The Word of God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that's what it means. That's reality. You see, these things that people look at as reality are legitimate. They happen. I mean, by what I mean by legitimate is that they do happen. It's true. But it's the wrong thing to base our decisions on. It's the wrong thing to base our decisions on. The thing that we are to base our decision on is the roadmap, God's Word. It says not to forsake. It tells us. And so, as we go through life, reality is that these things are going to happen. We read it. These things are going to happen. All kinds of things are going to happen to us. They're going to be there. Let's face it. Let's don't try to go in a corner and hide. That doesn't bring us to the place that God wants us to be. I don't know where you're at in all of this. I trust you're probably not there if you're here this morning, but at that place of wanting to just get away from it all. But I want to encourage you not to ever go there, because these things we face them. Where's our heart? Is our heart to serve God, please Him, commit that I will serve Him no matter what happens in my life? That's my encouragement to you this morning. There's a song, I don't know if you know it, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. You all know that song? If we could, I'll take my seat, and whoever leading song, if you could lead that song. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I don't know the number, but I think it's probably in one of the books here. And then, Brother Steve, if you would want to ask somebody about a volunteer, why, appreciate that. And come expecting to share share the message. I my turn to have the opening next Sunday, so I'll do that, and then somebody else have the message. So I've been encouraged seeing the group here, fellowshipping, and I want to continue to fellowship with you all. That's my desire, and I want to see you all keeping on the road to reality and make it to the desired end. God bless.